Hello everyone, welcome to Small Biz Tips. So a few weeks ago, I attended a mastermind and I randomly meet this guy and he starts telling me about all the things that he was doing. I'm like, holy cow, I gotta bring this guy to the show. Jerry, what's going on, man?
It's a pleasure being here. Thank you. Thank you for having me, Gilbert.
Thank you so much, man. So before we get started and what your guy is going on, which I think is pretty awesome, who is Jerry?
That's a loaded question. I never really tried to put labels around me. I'm a creator. I am a father. I am a husband. So ultimately that's me, right? So I love arts. I love technology. I'm a foodie as well. So that I think that kind of sums it created a path for me in my life that I just traveled on and said, stick to it, right? And it just designed that journey around for me.
I love it. I love it. Now, and I know you have a beverage brand that you started. Do you want to share a bit more about that? And how did you even get into that?
Like I said, I think it's, in life, sometimes things come full circle around. And yes, we have a beverage brand. But it really started off, I guess, for me way back in the beginning, when I decided to go to school for fashion merchandising. And I feel like that was really just the beginning of, my entire career, how my career turned out, and everything else. But it led into where we are today. Do I think it's where we will be 10 years from now? Of course not, right? But it's part of the journey.
I love it. I love it. So I remember when we last spoke, you mentioned, how you came to New York and tell us about that story because I thought that was pretty amazing. How'd you get started?
Sure. So, at the beginning of my story, I recall I was designing this window, in school, and while, I guess, figuring things out, and I'm in my element. And remember, I went to school for that, merchandising. And merchandising on the creative side helps you think about how to grab customers' attentions the minute that they walk through that door, right? And usually they always say those first 5, 10 seconds is the most
That's it.
important thing. So, as I'm inviting people to come to my first window design, my mentor walks in and he goes, "Wow, this is great. This is amazing. You should come work for me," right? And at that point, I was like, "Oh, that sounds great. What does that look like?" And he goes, "Yeah, do what you do, but on a computer." And I'm like, "Yeah, I don't know nothing about computers, right?" But to kind of like fast forward a little bit, we wind up doing projects for Sean John for 5 years. We did his literally the very first stop for SeanJohn.com. I remember, him talking in the meeting. He's talking like he's expressing how he wanted his site to be the next Amazon, but the fashion, right? He was always talking that way. Like he wanted to be the best, and always wanted to bring our culture, right? The culture present in the fashion world. So it was really nice. It was an amazing experience. But that for me, right, turned into what they call today user experience, user interaction and user experience design on the web, right? So I started off really as what we used to call back then, information architectures. So I came in and I was helping and working with the designer, and working with the brands also, right, on where should certain things go. what colors should they be, right? This is now applying the brand look and feel to the website. What colors should there be? When you click on the button, how does it change that color, right? What color should we pick based on how it will trigger an emotional experience?
That's a science in itself alone. Tell us about that. I'm curious. What are some of the colors that people not even think about and how it impact emotions?
Sure. We'll pick some beloved brands, actually. If you look at the Apple brand, most of the branding around that, their branding colors are like their products have their own color line, but the branding colors on the website, on their materials, you look at it's mainly of a flat, a nice, shiny black, or a white background, very clean lines. They don't really have or add a bunch of stuff to it, right? So they're all about ensuring that you create that focus. And when you go to that website, immediately the first emotion was, oh, wow, this is so luxurious.
It makes you feel like high end.
Very high end, right? So that's that luxurious feeling. Another branding element that you'll see a lot of people use is that if you look at, let's say, for example, a website like the Amazon website, what's the number one color that people remembers with Amazon?
It's either yellow or orange.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, right. But they do have a blue in there too, right?
Know what?
But
I've
the thing
never
about
seen the
the
blue. That's crazy.
that's the thing. The blue sometimes disappears, but here's the thing. Orange is almost as if it's about like safety. I feel safe with this person. I feel
Oh, that's good.
comfort. I'm gonna get taken care of. Like it creates that safety feeling. If you look at a lot of pharmaceutical brands, right, they follow that same mantra. So they'll have some of the orange, they'll have some of the blue, they'll have some of, so colors in effect literally affects our mood, and it affects how customers portrays a brand. So, learning that earlier on, I brought that to basically what I was doing in New York City, early on in the early 2000s.
That's amazing. Let's go fast forward, right? Because that knowledge, I'm pretty sure you're applying it now to your beverage brand. Tell us more about that beverage brand, because to me, that's fascinating what you got going on.
Thank you. I want to say that the beverage brand itself is like a culmination of like all of the work that I've done in the past. And when I look at it, I see little tips and tidbits there. I see everything. I remember, for example, I had an opportunity to work on NDRE's first album. And I don't know if you recall, but it was like all pink, completely pink. Like she wanted, I remember the website, everything to be pink. She wanted the packaging to be completely pink. Like it was like completely pink, right? And I remember going back and forth, hey, we can't do all pink. We gotta have this, we gotta have gradients, we have this, blah, blah, right? But I understood why, and that always remained with me, right? It's that softness. It's that almost like a love affair, right, that you create with your consumer, with the customer, right? And for our brand, if you look at it, you'll see one of the cans is a pink one. And that can, for example, it's lemongrass, it's mint, it's eucalyptus. Those are some of the base of the ingredients. And that's all flowers and plants, right? They're really nice, beautiful flowers. So all that emotion and joy, what's the first thing that comes in mind is pink.
Wow. Wow. So Wow, this is amazing. Like, I never thought I was going to learn about colors and how to impact your emotions. And it helps, your overall brand on how that experience is the brand experience that comes from it. So
Exactly.
I'm curious, right? You started this beverage brand, what, in 2020?
We started in 2020, officially launched in 2020, right in the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah, tell us about that. How was that process? And now I think you like all over the nation, right? It distributed in different.
We're in over 35 states,
Congrats.
11 airports and
Wow.
growing. We're in a major, I can't announce it yet because it,
Okay.
we're going to be making a big announcement, but a major basketball team.
That's awesome.
We're launching with them. We contract signed. They already did one of their tastings also at the stadium. So this is, it's
Congratulations.
huge. It's really nice. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm
Thank you. It's
curious
really.
because there's a lot of people and business owners with like different brands that want to get into the airports, but it's challenging. How did you overcome that challenge? What was kind of like some of the steps you took that got you into like 11 airports?
It was very challenging, and I think I'll give you a just a quick insight, and
Yes.
I won't put too much information out there, but the biggest thing is the actual cost to get on any type of store shelf that has high foot traffic
Yeah.
is not fr it's not free. It's
Got
not
it.
free. So
Got it.
once you understand that, any of the hot spots that you would like to be, always
Yeah.
remember it's not free, right?
Yes,
Because this
yes.
is a high visibility place. Now you have to come to the understanding of what it takes to actually be able to sell in that location. So it's less about finding the right people, because if you walk through these airports, literally, you can go to any of these stores, the one that speaks out to you, go into it. Hey, where do you get products from? How do you know what's the name of this company, right? And usually that company is the retailer that you have to sell into.
Okay. That is a gem, my friend. That is
Right.
huge.
And when you're selling into that retailer, they might have, let's say, I don't know, 200 locations, 30 airports globally. And now you have to choose based on their locations that they have available, what can your supply chain supply? You have to
Got
be
it.
very careful about that because the airport is a huge opportunity.
Yes.
It's a huge market. There's millions of people going through it every single day, right?
Yeah.
So even if you were to capture 1% of that, it's a huge number,
Yes.
right? So you need to make sure that you're able to supply that continuously.
So
So
now go ahead, go ahead, because I have thoughts. I definitely want to hear it. Go ahead.
it's less about really, how do you get the right company? It's
Yeah.
really thinking about, can your product survive in this type of location? So that's a whole brain chain process. It has
Yeah.
to be around your brand. It has to be around the financials. There's a lot that goes in through that. So, when you ask me that question, I'm like, wow, these are great questions, but I don't know if I could actually really state the entire
Yeah.
thing over here. But
No,
I
that's
can give you,
awesome.
you have to come through these like pros and cons essentially, right? And it's
Gotcha.
not just simple pros and cons. Oh, I'll get visibility because again, it might cost you, say, $500,000, for example, to be
Yeah.
able to get into all of these locations. And if you get there, how do you make that money back? How
Yes.
long will it take you?
Yeah.
And all of these things you have to be able to understand. So that's some of the stuff that you and your team need to come to an understanding of what that looks like.
Now I'm curious because you mentioned supply chain, right? A lot of people don't fully understand that. You have a beverage brand, so you got the manufacturing side, then you got to get it distributed. Like, tell us about, just a little insight on what that supply chain looks like. Because if you end up, like 11 different airports and you're not able to sustain the growth, then, then that's another challenge. So,
So for us, our supply chain, I want to say, is extremely complicated. And I'll list some of these complications for you. And they're different for everybody, right? They're and it's different for also, even if you're in a beverage business, maybe you're in a drop shipping beverage, right? So that will be totally different for you than for me, right? So there's a lot of variations for me that's different. So if you want to do some drop shipping and you say, hey, I'll take drop shipping to Mabi in the Northwest region, right? So what I do helps basically the larger network of what we have going on. I just want to make sure that's clear. So that's why our supply chain is a lot more complicated. Now, let me give you a little bit of insight. Part of our process is we purchase all of our raw ingredients directly from a company that my mother owns, actually. She has been in the natural products industry for the past 30 years, plus, and she's a doctor, she's a naturopath doctor. So she makes a custom blend of our herbal teas. But let's rewind a little back, because now you have to understand something, part of our recipe, these things were given, passed down to her from her mom. So a lot of the recipes that we're
That is
using, you're
scary.
realizing there's a history behind that. And with that, there's also supply chain that comes with it as well that you just can't deny, because that, in our, I grew up in Haiti, and the way things work in Haiti, it's almost as if like how we see it over here with families, but in a larger scale. So for example, it's like, oh, if you make it out of the hood, right, you bring all your friends with you. And that's how it is in Haiti. So as my grandmother, and just to give you a quick insight, I won't get into it too much. Our family has an amazing rich history. My grandmother was literally abandoned by the time she was 15 with 10 younger siblings of hers. And she wind up making candy and selling it in the streets to create an opportunity for herself. And it was doing that that brought basically her entire family out of poverty. And to give you an idea, my parents, my mother, her daughter grew up in the States. So by the time she had her daughter was already well off to grow up in the States and do all of these things. But it wasn't until I was born they decided, no, let's try to bring the family back to Haiti. So let's go back to our supply chain. Remember, everybody that all of her friends from the hood, right? It's about how do we bring back all of our friends and help out now, right? So everybody from her neighborhood, basically, she either did business with them, right? Because now I can buy products from you, right? I can buy raw ingredients from you. And we create a network. So this network is generations down, family down, for years and years and years. So we only buy from our network, which is Women
Love it.
Farmers. And they're located in various locations in Haiti, right? But part of our network also has deep history behind it. And some of that history helps solve the problems around forestation, right? Some of it helps solve problems around joblessness and all these things. But it all started with my grandmother and what she was doing back in the day. And
That's
we're
amazing.
still translating that today, right, now into a global vision.
That's amazing, bro. Wow. Now I it's crazy. I did not know, that part of the story. So I was fortunate to meet your mom. She's amazing.
Thank you.
And now listening to this part, that makes sense. And it's genius. You're keeping the growth in the family. And that helps build the right network. Because now you already have the trust in the relationship. That's
And but you know, even though yes, we are a family business, but you know, our network is also not family, many of them. They're friends of family. They become our family, but this is how we create the opportunities for others to
For everybody
continuously
else.
grow and come, you know, and do things. So, you know, some of these people, you know, I know a woman farmer. She has, you know, she doesn't write or read, and she was able to pay for her kids to come to college in the United States.
Wow, that's amazing.
Right? So it's little things like that, right? That we're part of, right? And being able to be
Life
part of
changing.
those things. Yeah, life changing. And you know, we're okay doing it in quiet.
I love it. I love it. So, what is that one small biz tips you would share with any business owners listening to this that you think can help them in their business?
Sure. So, one of the biggest things that helped me be where I am today is two things. One of them is taking advice and speaking with various different people, from different backgrounds, different places in their lives, right? So, just to give you an idea, for example, one of my number one testers are my kids. My kids, you know, gave me feedback on my website. And just to give you an idea, if a kid that can't read or write can navigate on a website, right? That means you created a user experience that's easily transmittable to anybody that doesn't have to
Anybody
read or
else?
write. So very early on, I understood that and I always applied that. So my kids were always my early testers and seeing how they respond to certain things. So, getting advice from various different groups of people and understanding what that advice means, right, to that person, is extremely important to be able for you to decipher what they're saying. The next thing is strategizing, right? And it's also part of that advice, right? So once you receive all of these advice, how do you strategize around this and say, let's build a plan to go X, Y, and Z? Because here we are, you know, 3 years later, in over 35 states
That's
and
amazing.
some major key retailers, Sprouts Nationwide, you know, we're all in over 11,000 doors, 11,000 retail doors, right? So it's huge. It's a lot. And we have products everywhere.
That's amazing.
So being able to do that in 3 years, something had to be done because we don't have a huge team. We don't have millions of dollars of funding. What did we do right? Well, it's part of, you know, our strategy making process. We spend a lot of time planning and building out on what do we want to go, how do we do it when we get there, and implementing that plan now.
I love it. I love it. How do people get in touch with you? What's the site for Mabi that people can check out? Give us the details on that.
Sure. So you can check out my website, mabita.com, MABITEA. However, I'm easy reachable on my Instagram. So you can follow us at mabi.t, MABI.TEA on Instagram. You can reach out to any of us anytime. I promise you, even though we have tons of people in the platform, I still look at all the messages, reply directly from my profile. Like I talk to everybody, even people that, you know, say, hey, this, I experienced, like a lot of people ask me. So, you know, I literally run customer service because I want to make sure I understand every single person's issues, problems that happen. So all of our team members, like, are part of that process because when we all understand what customers are saying, it really helps us understand what we should be focusing on, what we should be doing.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Jerry, for coming on. This was amazing. Please reach out to him. Check out my BT. I had it. It was amazing. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. It was a pleasure meeting you again. It was a pleasure connecting with you. Thank you so much, and looking forward to speaking next time.
Cool.